Friends, I welcome back you as we start our new chapter. Something very interesting, learning about anthropology, something about man. Now we are going to deal something with soul, spirit, and body of a human being. For example, if X soul and Y is spirit and Z is body, then the trichotomist understanding of these words will make it saying dividing X and Y, Z and Z, which generates an awkwardness to the words that is absent in the dichotomist interpretation. Dichotomists understand that soul is equal to spirit, and therefore X is equal to Y. Thus, the words reads dividing X and X, Z and Z, which preserves the symmetry intended by biblical order. Robert Raymond provides a grammatical argument on these words and writes, here the trichotomist insists, since the soul can be divided from the spirit, it is evidence that they are two separate and distinct ontological entities. But this is to ignore the fact that soul and spirit are both genitive, governed by the principle dividing. The verse is saying that the word of God divides the soul, even the spirit. But it does not say that the word of God divides between soul and spirit or divides the soul from the spirit. In addition, this verse does not in fact refers to any dividing power in the word of God, but its ability to penetrate. The word of God is so powerful that it reaches, affects, and transforms even the deepest regions of a person's mind. That is, it judges and thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Verse 12. The next verse confirms this interpretation. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. The point is that nothing about us is hidden from God, not even our thoughts and intention. Another verse the trichotomists use to support their position is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, which says, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body he kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is true that the three words translated spirit, soul, and body are different Greek words. Some take this to mean that Paul is referring to God's preservation of whole human beings, which the apostle asserts to be consisting of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. However, Mark chapter 12, verse 30 makes such an interpretation impossible. The word says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. He mentions four items here with which we must love God, namely the heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23 demands understanding that man consists of three parts, then Mark chapter 12, verse 30 demands understanding that man consists of four parts. Thus, the trichotomist argument from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 fails. Many biblical words employ repetition of sake of emphasis. That the above words uses different words to refer to man does not necessarily mean that each word designate a different part of man. Rather, the intention is to refer the whole person. Popular Christian preaching often assumes a sharp distinction between the spirit and the soul of man, identifying the heart with the spirit and mind with the soul. However, the exegetical dictionary of New Testament defines heart, Greek word is cardia, as the inner person and the seat of understanding, knowledge and will. Kittel contains a lengthy article of word and says, the heart is the seat of understanding and source of thought and reflection. As with other lexicons, it confirms that the NT use of word agree with the OT use. The word heart in Bible includes a range of meaning, but unless it points to the physical organ, it is speaking of the mind with the context of the passage giving emphasis to particular functions. Gordon Clark estimates that the term heart denotes emotion about 10 or at the very most 15% of the time. It denotes the will maybe 30% of the time, and it very clearly means the intellect 60 or 70% of the times. Since both the emotion and the will are functions of the intellect or the mind, unless the reference is to physical organ, the word heart in Bible means the mind. Having presented several pages of relevant passages, Clark concludes, therefore, when someone in pews hears the preacher contrasting the head and the heart, he will realize that the preacher either does not know or does not believe what Bible says. That the gospel may be proclaimed in its purity and power, the churches should eliminate their feudalism and other forms of contemporary psychology and return to God's word. It is unbiblical to distinguish between head faith and heart faith, or head knowledge and heart knowledge. It is the first place the mind of man is not his head or his brain. The mind of man is incorporeal, made in the image of God. It is not the part of body at all. So to make a contrast between head and the heart is to commit theological error or more than one level. The trichotomist distinguishes between spirit and the soul, or the heart and the mind, not the head, since the head belongs to the body. Therefore, the contrast is between the faith in the spirit and faith in the mind, or knowledge in spirit and knowledge in mind. But since trichotomy is false, such a contrast is also false, since the word spirit, soul and heart and mind all refers to the same immaterial part of man. Faith in spirit is faith in the mind, and the knowledge in spirit is knowledge in the mind. They are just different words for the same part of man. This is also means that faith and knowledge are always intellectual. In one of the book that I read of Watchman Nee, the spiritual being, the spiritual man, he very clearly states about the three different structures of man's spirit, soul and body. One of the philosophy that he proposed, and I really appreciate that how he performed, is this. Man was created in the image of God. God took the dust and he formed body. So body is one of the part. And then he further says that God breathed into him, that God gave the spirit to man. And when spirit and body came into contact, the third personality was evoked. And that is soul. So body is there, which is carnal. Spirit is there, which is spiritual. And soul is the part that decides, that comes in between spirit and body. When soul paves its intention and obeys body, then the man is carnal. He is worldly man. And when the soul paves heart to spirit, The man is spiritual being. He gives importance to spirit. So a man can be carnal, that means non-spiritual or unspiritual, and spiritual. It depends upon the soul, how soul reacts. If soul is towards the body, he is worldly personality. If soul is towards the spirit, he is spiritual personality. So that is how he defines the three personality of soul, spirit and body. But since trichotomy is very essential thing that we think about when spirit, soul and body, and very clearly Watchman Nee explicit it out to deliberately say that man is made up of three different beings. In a treatise concerning religious affection, Jonathan Edwards writes regarding the inclination and will of man that the mind with regard to the exercise of his faculty is often called the heart. Also Thayer writes cardia, the soul or mind, as it is the fountain and seeds of the thoughts, passion, desires, appetites, affection, purposes, endeavor, used of the understanding, the faculty and seeds of intelligence. The point is that the heart is intellectual. After an extensive presentation of relevant evidences, Robert Murray concludes in his Death and Afterlife book, man's immaterial side is given several different names in scripture. It has been called the spirit, soul, mind, heart, inward parts, etc. of man. The names should not be viewed as referring to separate entities, but as the description of different functions or relationship which man's immaterial side has. Indeed, spirit and soul are used interchangeably in various pages. Therefore, a human being consists of mind and body. We may consider the term spirit, soul, heart and mind as generally interchangeable. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of one who can destroy both soul and body in hell, Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. Second Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of the reverence of God. Mark chapter 7 verse 19 says, for it doesn't go into his heart but into his stomach and then out of his body. Since many readers tend to think of the spirit and the heart or even the soul as more or less non-intellectual, it often prefer the word mind so as to remind the reader that no matter what one calls it, the immaterial part of man is intellectual in nature. Words such as spirit, soul, heart and mind all refers to the same immaterial and intellectual part of man. In summary, the Bible teaches that man consists of two parts, the material and the immaterial. Therefore, we do not lose hearts, but through our outer man, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16, man is a soul and a body. The soul entered into man when God breathed life into him, and it is the breath of God that gives man his intellectual powers. Our conclusion remains that the image of God is the intellect of man. That is, man is made in the image and likeness of God in the sense that man has a rational mind. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says that God created male and female human beings. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God. He created him male and female. He created them. This verse indicates that both male and female are made in the image of God, and both belong to the category of man or mankind. The dominion that God gave to man belongs to both male and female. Since verse 28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Verse 28. The implication of these two words is that one gender is not intrinsically superior to other. However, although the ontological value of man and woman are the same. So, as we have seen that man has been in the image of God, and the factor including man is different words that we use, soul, spirit, heart, mind and everything. But basically it is material and immaterial. That is two different categories. That means soul and spirit is the same and body is different. So that's what how we conclude this chapter, saying as if man's personality can be seen through these evidences. Now we are going to speak something of the relationship in the next chapter. So see you there in our next chapter about the relationship and the superiority, inferiority, all these things, difference between man and woman. See you there in the next chapter. Thank you so much.